We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to Radio 4's answer to Twin Peaks. Before we launch into this week's journey into the surreal, we have an explanation of the Inland Revenue's new system of performance assessment of staff, read by Catriona Young.
An officer giving a performance which merits box 2 is one who achieves a standard of performance which is significantly better than the normal expectations for the grade. It's expected that fewer people would earn a box 2 marking than a box 3 marking, but it's emphasised that there are no quotas for box 2 or for any other marking. If the evidence is there to justify box 2, this marking should be given. So the first question to be asked in deciding whether a box 2 or 3 marking is appropriate is, what do I expect of an officer in this grade? If that is what is being delivered, then box 3 is the appropriate marking. But if it's significantly more, then box 2 is appropriate. If people find this simple approach still difficult, I would not object to a comment on the report form which distinguishes between upper box 2 and lower box 2, or upper box 3 and lower box 3. I hope this makes clear the importance of getting reporting right and as accurate as possible.
And talking of surreal, we'd like to thank Mrs. B.N. Willis of Sussex for drawing our attention to that. Now, time now to meet the teams. On my right, FBI agent Richard Ingrams and his deputy, Sheriff John Wells. Whilst on my left, we welcome mill owner Julia Langdon together with the log lady, Alan Corran. Well, let's open round one with this appreciative letter sent to a fitness magazine.
Health Now has been a lifeline to me. Your advice for hiatus hernia sufferers advised the use of slippery elm food. It certainly helped my digestion. It also aided my memory. My mother fed us this appetizing food, and she'd be over 100 years old if she was alive today.
And we thank Mrs. Elsie Charwood of Sporting for sending us that. Richard, your first question. Who wants to treat your eldest?
Your eldest?
Eldest.
Eldest. Is it to do with... eldest child, is it?
Oh, very.
It's,
oh. It's seeping through to him, ladies and gentlemen. Seeping through.
Well, Mrs. Thazer has always been against these child benefit things. And suddenly, one of her underlings, a Mrs. Rumbold, suddenly came out and said she was all in favour of them, since when there's been a bit of a ruckus going on. And it looks now as if they're going to be jacked up for everybody.
Well, not quite everybody.
No, across the board, old chap.
Not everybody.
Lose more votes, what? If you say that. We'll lose more marks if you say everybody.
just for the...
Just the eldest, the firstborn. Yes. The firstborn of the land shall receive
a pound.
Have
you got one of those?
Not as far as I remember. No.
I'm not sure whether
John started with the second and worked his way back. Anyway... It is all about your caring, sharing government, who are to splash out by adding a massive pound to child benefit. This will be payable to the eldest child until they're old enough to pay it all back some poll tax. John Wells, how did the greatest living Welshman score on the crypto factor?
Is it Mr. Our spotty friend?
Yes.
It's our spotty friend.
Who's that?
Mr. Pillock. And he made a joke, apparently, according to my... extrasensory perception.
Well, Mrs. Thatcher made a joke first. She called him a crypto-communist.
Oh, that's very amusing, yes. I laughed a lot.
And then when she didn't turn up to speak in the debate, Kinnock made this very good joke about her calling her a crypto-trappist.
How amusing.
You
and
get
apparently
it? You
members had to be helped from the room. Tears flooding down their face. Does that answer your question, Samuel?
Yes, it's absolutely perfect in
teamwork.
Every respect. This refers to the description of a coyly silent Mrs. Thatcher as a crypto-trappist by Mr. Kinnock, leader of Labour, the crypto-socialist party. Mr. Kinnock, we understand, is now hiring himself out to parties as a cryptogram. He arrives with the latest manifesto while guests have to try and work him out. But time now for some news spotted in Monday's Guardian.
The water treatment works, which poisoned 20,000 people in the Camelford area of Cornwall 2 years ago, has won a regional incentive scheme award.
Well, thanks to John and Elaine Hopkinson for sending us that. And we cross to Julia Langdon, who we welcome with this question. Julia, why will the devil no longer have all the best jingles?
This isn't fair. Look, I'm a political editor. You ask two political questions of those two on the other side there, and then you throw me a question like that.
Yes, it is.
I am waiting for the message to come.
It's to do with religious advertising on the telly.
Quite right.
And guidelines thereof.
Quite right.
For lo, it is ordained that there shall be commercials on the television, and there shall be no, they shall show no bias before the Lord.
Oh, so the devil has to have 50% of
it. Exactly.
Sounds very fair. I'd never know they don't advertise God much on TV.
Well, the devil's on all the time.
Yes, true. So true, my friend.
Particularly on the Channel 4. So the...
To return to the question, which you've probably forgotten by now, this concerns the Independent Television Commission, who have published the rules which will give religious groups their first opportunity to advertise on television. The code outlaws the use of fear, references to faith healing, miracle ingredients, whiter than white souls, or eternal damnation if not entirely satisfied. Offers of 30 pieces of silver will in future carry a 7-day money-back guarantee. Alan Curran, your turn, as ever, for this.
We're only making plans for Nigel. We only want what's best for him. We're only making plans for Nigel.
I'm sure you heard the title of that, which was Making Plans with Nigel. The question is, who thinks there's more to life than politics?
This is about Nigel Lawson.
Yes.
Who was photographed with his trousers undone.
Was he?
In every paper, yeah. As he came out of wherever. Did we not see this?
Yes.
Just when everybody thought there were no flies on Nigel. No, he was photographed with his flies undone, and he's going also to step down from politics, so these two are not connected as they might be in other members of the cabinet. And he's buying lots of houses. He sold one house here and bought another two there and all that. I mean, that's all there was about Nigel, really. Yeah. He wants a better life than simply hanging around street corners with his flies undone.
Yes, I think you've got the nub of it there, if that's the phrase I'm looking for. It's that Nigel Lawson, who has announced the end of his political career, again, so that he can spend more time with his directorships. And the scores at the end of round one are unusual in that Alan and Julia have two, but Richard and John, what with bonuses and one thing and another, have amassed five and are in the lead. Well, we open round two with an announcement in the Ormskirk Advertiser of a forthcoming marriage.
Dr. G. Khan, long-suffering father of Samantha, announces with great pleasure and relief that he's finally offloaded her to Pete, only son, thank heavens, of Mr. Birch. Both families cannot really believe their luck.
Oh, dear, I know what he means about long-suffering. Anyway, we thank Kevin Green from Lancashire for that. Richard, your question now. Who's been reduced to one horsepower travel, or indeed one's horsepower?
Is it the royalty who's been caught speeding again? Which one this time? They're always, my partner's making the outline of a voluptuous woman.
No,
it must have been the Queen Mother in the past.
Yeah, cut that out.
Yeah, that's very good. No, it's her royal speedometer, isn't it? The Princess Anne, whatever. They keep changing their name, Mrs. Phillips.
Yes, no, not Mrs. Phillips. She's not Princess Royal.
No, yes, sorry. You know the one I mean.
Yes, I know I know from your description. I didn't know before. It is Her Royal Highness GTI, the Princess Royal. Is she of the Paddy Hopkirk walking boots? Who was fined £150 with a month's driving ban after being stopped for speeding. She apologised for excessive speeds, explaining that she thought Mark Phillips was behind her. Police claim that she might have been going a lot faster, but she had to keep stopping to avoid Ayrton Senna. John Wells, how were the princes in the Towers taken for a ride?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know what it was. It was to do with... Well, they can't be the same family, two questions running. Well, apparently...
It isn't the same family.
The Princess Royal
Apparently, her children, she said in the newspaper...
No, it's Princess Diana.
Oh, really? Well, because Princess Anne was on about the fact her children couldn't read or write on account of Mark Phillips having not educated them.
I wonder if they can read road signs.
Well, they're fumbling. I'm going to go across to Julia.
This is a non-political story that I actually noticed. I think it's... Princess Diana took her children to Alton Towers.
Quite right. The young princess said that their favourite ride of all was the one that threw them about while dashing around at 90 miles an hour when Auntie Anne drove them home. And now a musical clue for you, Julia.
There was an English lady, and she was over 80. She went around on crutches. I'll tell you who she was, Dawn. This was the Duchess of Buckingham. Very important woman. A rag of bone, a hank of hair. But she still went to the swell affairs. And her husband took her there. He was nice, I think he was a duke. But he had to take her in a rolling chair.
Well, that was Pearl Bailey and a number called The Duchess Threw Her Crutches Away. another royal story here. Julia, whose aristocratic friends are burdened with junk?
There is the Duchess of York, who I saw in a really... Well, I was told by the newspapers it was an improvement on the clothes she had been wearing lately.
She went to New York. Yep. It was infested.
Yes.
People with open noses. It's a cocaine store. I mean, you're looking...
Right. Oh, yes, no, I know it now.
The land of cocaine.
She's got a lot of friends who have been suffering from journalist
Excellent.
Diseases of alcoholism, and she talked to some junkies about the fact that she knew people who had suffered as they had.
I thought, you know, after all these disasters we've been having this week, to see that lovely picture of Duchess of York on the front page of the Daily Mail, I thought was very reassuring. In fact, she's changed her hairstyle, yes. Apparently. That was really important news and well worth having.
Yes. I thought that was Mr. Heath.
The two are often confused. This does refer to the Duchess of York, the jet-set junkie's Mrs. Big, who met 60 New York addicts and offered to help them through their cold turkey by eating it. She explained... It's optional. She explained that some of her best friends were cocaine addicts, but of course they were born with a silver spoon up their nose. And to complete our tribute to the royal family, Alan, who couldn't keep it clean despite the MO's brush?
It's young Prince Edward.
Right.
Who told a very, very old joke. You know, when you've got a... You must know this, Barry, better than anyone. When you've got a very, very old joke to tell, you launder it through somebody else. And he said his father, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, had told him this joke.
You've told us enough. I'll just add the bit that I have in the page here. It's all about the royal joke. Prince Edward told dinner guests celebrating 35 years at the Duke of Edinburgh's awards. Suffice it to say, the joke was too rude to broadcast here. But the full text will be reproduced in The Listener and can be found in all good newsagents on the top shelf. And the scores have miraculously righted themselves because Alan and Julia are now 7, as are Richard and John. It's a tie. Now it's over to Catriona for the start of round 3.
A man fell to his death from Beachy Head on Sunday, creating a record for the country's most favoured suicide spot. The 500-foot-high cliffs have now claimed 21 victims this year. The previous record was 20 deaths for the whole of 1981. Dr. John Surtees, a chemical pathologist, has made a study of deaths over the cliffs during the last 25 years and blames good road communications for making the place a favourite spot to commit suicide. Nowadays, someone from Basingstoke can make it to Eastbourne in a matter of hours.
Oh, dear.
Princess Anne would be there even quicker.
Thanks to the many listeners who spotted that in the Sussex Express and sent it to us. Richard, forgive me for losing my cool here. Richard, how did collecting fares on the tube go down the tubes?
This is not to do with Cecil Parkinson, is it, only remotely? But, no, it was just discovered, I think, that in addition to all the other troubles of London transport, they lost an awful lot of money in one way or another. No.
Yes, you're on the right line, but this is an individual.
Yes, because one of their employees, I think, had gone away with all the money out of the machines.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's absolutely right. It's a London Transport Underground question concerning their crackdown on ticket cheats, which exposed a loss of £28,000 and the further loss of a booking clerk who vanished with it. Police believe the alleged miscreant was last seen arriving in Mauritius, claiming he'd got on the stop before. John Wells, your turn now for the annual outing of this.
I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's 2 pints more a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town.
John, assuming that wasn't Edward Heath, but the laughing policeman, wants the community to be seen to be done.
I thought it was one of the Royal's bodyguards having a chuckle at obscene jokes made by the young Prince Edward. Apparently something to do with the boys in blue are now being encouraged to hit you over the head with their truncheons in a more polite and deferential way in order to build up a lot of love and cherishing feelings in the community. But I thought it might easily be Mr. Heath because of that wonderful movement of his shoulders on arriving back from his mission. Yes. And thinking what he'd done to Mrs. Thatcher's popularity by going out there.
Yes. Anyway, this does refer to a statement of police aims declared to delegates at a national police conference in Hampshire, which urged the force to take more account of the public's wishes, halt the decline of confidence, and be more user-friendly. It also claimed it wanted to move away from the style of copper seen on television in The Bill towards a pleasant, avuncular figure who can act. Meanwhile, the force know what they're about in Gloucestershire.
A mugger got the wrong end of the stick when pensioner Charles Massey thwacked him smartly between the legs with his walking stick. Cheltenham police said, "We're looking for someone walking very carefully indeed."
Now, thanks to Mrs. Winifred Bulstrode of Waterlooville. Julia, how is the mild-mannered man of steel to get his own Iron Lady?
That must be David Steele, Sir David Steele.
No, it isn't. It's
Ian McGregor.
No, it's more of a fantasy.
Superman, yes.
I think I was...
Superman's getting married to Lois Lane.
Oh.
In the next series of comics, after 50 years.
52 years.
And what if he's still super? If he's still faster than the speeding bullet, it's going to give her a bit of a fright. But it's taken him 52 years.
I know he's right.
It's a terrible week. It's the same week they're going to have a full frontal Pride and Prejudice. I mean, it's very little left.
Coroner's claiming he hasn't read the papers this week. But
no,
actually,
I saw that. Notice about full frontal Pride and Prejudice.
It's all about DC Comics and their plans for Superman to get married. The cartoon story writers decided it was about time the all-powerful Man of Steel had someone sensible around to finally get him out of the habit of putting his pants on over his trousers. Well, that explanation was for the benefit of anyone who thought that Kryptonite was an evening out with Neil Kinnock.
Oh, very good, very good.
And on a small...
Lois Lane lying there saying, was it a bird, was it? I know it was something, I know it's...
Alan, a sporting question for you now. Who managed a thumping £10,000 fine?
It's Manchester United and another. I mean, there are 22 others. Yes. Everybody except one of the goalkeepers, 21 of them, had a go at one another. And the manager was fined and the men were fined. I don't know much more about it. It was last Saturday and it was Arsenal and Manchester United,
was it? Yeah. Well, you can tell us the name of the Arsenal manager.
Can I?
No.
I used to know that. Do you know the name of the Arsenal manager?
Not recently.
He's been there for some considerable time, an excellent chap.
Terry, somebody.
No, it isn't.
They're always
Terry, so silly, isn't it?
It's a name
Terry,
like Bill Oddie, isn't it?
Robert Maxwell.
No. It all concerns the aftermath of the First Division freestyle wrestling bout between Arsenal and Manchester United. And Arsenal's manager, George Graham, was fined 2 weeks' wages. That's £10,000. It makes you think, doesn't it? Having been charged with bringing the name of mindless violence into disrepute. And the scores at the end of round three are, quite happily, 11-all. Yeah. Here now is a story from The Times.
Robert Coombs, aged 43, a council water station fitter of Bournemouth, who fell and injured his back after standing on a sleeping cat in long grass in 1985, was awarded £59,000 damages in the High Court yesterday. The judge found Christchurch Borough Council to blame, as Mr. Coombs had warned it about the grass.
Richard, here's a helpful piece of music you might care to sing along with.
Esther Anson sings.
Richard, why are £5 a night hotels going to the dogs?
Why what?
Why are £5 a night hotels going to the dogs, Richard?
It's a political question about child benefits.
Well, it's part of the government's crackdown on dogs. There's a big sort of anti-dog thing going on now. And if you have a dog that strays from the path and it gets arrested by a friendly policeman and put inside one of these hotels, and then you have to pay to get it to be able to, sort of clamping-like thing. You have your dog clamped.
You have to pay for the telephone bill, room service, everything of that sort.
To come and take it away.
John, your question now. Can you tell us about the latest Japanese links with computerized golf?
Is it about this enormous golf course, indoor golf course, in Japan, apparently, where your balls bleep and glow in the dark, apparently, so that you can play all night? Because the Japanese are so keen on golf that all the English people have to queue up all day until darkness falls, and then they're allowed to play in the dark. So you have to have these special directional balls. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to play or find them.
Well, as much as we've been intrigued by your answer, John, I feel that I pass it over to Alan Corran, who knows more about it.
Well, it's not that different. They're building a very small, I don't want to be unfair to the Japanese, they're building a very small triangular automated golf course with robot caddies. And this is going to allow Japanese to play golf on very small golf courses.
Now it's over to Catriona for this.
Verdicts of accidental death were recorded by a Walsall coroner yesterday on two pensioners killed by a baked Alaska pudding at an old people's home.
It's true what they say, organised crime is on the increase. Well, that was seen in the Daily Telegraph. Julia, what remains the Cotswolds' oldest resident?
Another royal story?
Nope.
The Cotswolds' oldest resident sounds like, I can't even read his writing.
Stegosaurus Lego.
Oh, yes, I do know this. It's just the way you ask the questions, you know. It's not like the crossword at all. They found the relic of ancient man, or rather ancient those things. Those things they keep in the Natural History Museum.
That's right. Dinosaur.
And somebody was going around with one of those metal detectors, and it suddenly read that it was bone instead, and he thought there might be money in that too.
It's a very interesting animal.
Yes.
What is interesting about it, Alan?
It had, according to the Telegraph, it had two brains. Had a brain in its head and a brain in its stomach. It's really rather good.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me.
Very good.
I don't get out a lot, but I still don't meet many people like that. And it's the oldest vegetarian large lizard ever found. It's 175 right. million years old.
Quite right.
Dead, of course. It doesn't... didn't help having a brain in its stomach and a brain in its head. It couldn't get around to feeding itself, but there you are.
Perhaps
there's now a lot of bones in the Cotswolds.
Perhaps it was someone else's brain it had in its stomach.
The government have announced that in future, however, if any stray dinosaurs are found without a suitable collar, owners have just 7 days to claim them before they are destroyed. Finally, Alan, why is BT pulling the plug on its namesake?
Oh, this is Maureen Lipman, right? Who has done umpteen of those wonderful, ghastly adverts for British Telecom, and is not going to do it anymore. I don't really know why, but she's contracted to do some for the rest of next year, and then she's going to stop, and they're going to look for somebody else.
And before we reveal the final scores, let's have some cuttings. Richard, what have you brought for us?
Well, as he hasn't been mentioned so far, the only member of the royal family not to be mentioned, I've got one about Prince Charles. It says, Prince Charles has donated a limited edition plate to the Gloucestershire Trust for Nature Conservation's Wildlife Appeal. The plate will be one of the lots to come under the hammer, the Trust's auction.
He's not had a lot of luck this year. John, what have you brought for us?
This is rather an upsetting account of the adventures of Mr. Kelvin Holt from the Bridport News. Mr. Roderick Hine, prosecuting, said Holt's car failed to give way at the road junction of Hawkchurch Cross and collided with a car, causing extensive damage. Holt drove off and about 20 minutes later collided with another car at Vere's Cross on the A3066 when he crossed the centre lane. He drove off again, but the car's details were noted by an off-duty policeman. It was spotted shortly afterwards parked in a lay-by at Crooked Oak Bends, and Holt was found sitting in the branches of a tree. There's quite a lot more of it, but I thought you'd probably want to go and have some supper.
That's enough for now, I think. Julia, what have you brought for us?
This is an item from the Daily Mirror, which appeared under the headline Flashy Name, The Reason Why Will Appear. Habitual flasher Stephen Rowles was jailed for 9 months yesterday, despite a plea from his pal, John Thomas. I haven't finished. Rowles, 37, who had 56 previous convictions for indecent exposure, exposed himself to two women shoppers, Norwich Crown Court was told. He admitted 8 separate offences. Mr. Thomas had offered to give Rowles a job as a window cleaner to keep him out of trouble.
Great. Alan?
Well, I thought I was brave doing this one at all, Barry, since I'm the only person in this entire vault who smokes. It's even braver coming after Julia's. It's from the Liverpool Echo. It says, research conducted on 400 impotent men revealed that the one thing they had in common was that they all smoked. A spokesman for the anti-smoking group ASH said today, if this study puts someone off smoking, that's all to the good. But we're not really sure whether it stands up.
On that note, let me tell you the scores at the end of the competition. Richard and John have done terribly well with 13, but fallen away somewhat. And Alan and Julia have swarmed into the lead with 16. So they're this week's winners, 16. And we end with a piece sent in by Ms. L. Whiteside of Swinton, seen in the Manchester Evening News.
Spotting pizza on a Manchester Works canteen menu, one hungry diner ordered it, only to find himself being served with quiche. That's not pizza, that's quiche, he said. I know, said the canteen lady, but we can't spell quiche.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, John Wells, Julia Langdon and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias.